WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Quickening Report with your host, Patrick Wood. Patrick is a globally known expert on technocracy, transhumanism, and globalization.
WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Well, hello. Welcome to Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon. Today, we're going to talk about one of the big enemies within the United States, and that is President Joe Biden. Now, we all know he's not really in control, but I still think it's worth a background into how he got into the position he did, because it tells us a lot about American politics. So we'll get into Joe Biden straight after this message. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show, and I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took two volumes to get this done. These are highly documented. Security Risk Senators, Part 1, Arizona to Massachusetts, Part 2, Michigan to Virginia. I interviewed Trevor for several hours on these books when they came out. They're a must for everybody's library. Enemies Within. This is a DVD. You should indeed have this in your library as well. This book, White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk Running for U.S. President in 2020. You may say, wait a minute, that's 2020. That's a dated book. Actually, it's not, because the individuals being discussed are still around today and in government and endeavoring to run for office. This is a historical book. This book, White House Reds, gives you the historical background of many of the communist and socialist front groups in America today and many of the candidates, well, that ran for president but are still around today. So this book is very relevant. The Enemies Within movie. Then we have Burn This Book, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. These are some of Trevor's excellent resources. Not only should these be a part of your library and that of your family and friends, but this is also a great way to support the work of Trevor Loudon. So everybody wins. You get great books and resources, and you're supporting Trevor Loudon so he can keep this TV show going. So please, go to trevorloudon.com right now. trevorloudon.com right now. Make your purchases and share this website with your family and friends. Thank you.
Well, thanks again, Brandon. Thanks to everybody for watching. So, well, tonight we're going to talk about Joe Biden and his background. Now, Joe Biden was a 29-year-old city councilor in Wilmington, Delaware, back in 1972. And he was a nobody. He was 20, as I said, 29 years old. He wasn't even old enough to serve in the U.S. Senate. You have to be 30. Well, Joe Biden ran. He was ran as a Democrat in a state that at the time was completely Republican. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Delaware was a Republican state. It had never elected a Democrat statewide at that point. Joe Biden ran against Hale Boggs, I think it was, a four-term Republican with an 80% approval rating, and he beat him. The big upset of 1972, a massive, massive upset. So how did that happen? Well, Joe Biden was picked out and mentored by a man called Albert Gore Sr. Some of you may have heard of his son. He invented the internet and global warming. That one, okay? Well, Albert Gore Sr. was a very, very corrupt senator from Tennessee, and he really liked Joe Biden. He called him a very nice, progressive young man. Now, progressive is a code word for socialist or communist, by the way. It means progressing towards communism. And all these liberals, all these people who call themselves progressives on TV, that's what they mean. They're progressing towards socialism. So he picked out Joe Biden, and he got him, I think, about I think Joe Biden's budget was about $287,000, and the Council for Livable World got at least a third of it, which was a lot of money back in 1972. And they also got him endorsements from all over the country, and they got him, Al Gore Sr. was the president at the time of a group called the Council for a Livable World. Council for a Livable World. Look up their website. They're still going. And he got Joe Biden lots of money, endorsements from all over the country, volunteers from all over the country, and Joe Biden got elected. He was only just old enough to be sworn in when he was sworn into the U.S. Senate in early 1973. Okay, so the thing we need to know about Albert Gore Sr. is he was a protege of a man called Armand Hammer. Some of you may have heard of Armand Hammer. He was the son of a U.S. Communist Party member. Armand Hammer made a lot of money trading with the Soviet Union in the early days of the Bolshevik Revolution. He would go, he would trade it in pencils and fur and gosh knows what else, and made And art that had been looted from, you know, the Russian aristocracy and that kind of thing. And he made a bit of money. He got a lot of debt as well. He was a bit of a rat bag when it came to money. But he eventually made himself wealthy. He became the head of Occidental Petroleum. And he was the leading Soviet agent in America of the early 20th century. Regarded as one of those who kept the Bolshevik Revolution alive when it could have collapsed. J. Edgar Hoover had a massive file on Armand Hammer, really wanted to arrest the man, but he was protected from the U.S. Senate by Albert Gore Sr. So, just hang on a second. Sorry about that. I normally turn the phone off. So he was doing, the Council for a Livable World was set up by a man called Leo Szilard. Leo Szilard was a Hungarian. He was a member of he was very actively supporting the Hungarian Communist Revolution that swept Hungary just after World War II. There was communist revolutions in several states after World War I, that failed. And Leo Szilard fled first to Germany and then to the United States. He was a physicist. He became a top scientist, and he was recruited to join the Manhattan Project during World War II, which was a project that was designed to create the U.S. atomic weapon, the weapon that was used to defeat Japan at the end of World War II. And Leslie Groves, who was the commander of the Manhattan Project and very security conscious, wanted to fire Szilard, just wanted to fire him because he knew he was a communist and he didn't trust him. And as it turned out, there were many communists working in the Manhattan Project, which was why 3 years after America exploded its atomic weapon, the Soviets exploded theirs, and nobody knew how they did it. Nobody knew. It was only found out later there were so many spies working the Manhattan Project that everything the Americans were doing was going straight back to Moscow. So Szilard left. After the war, Szilard became a big peace campaigner. He was involved in the big Pugwash conferences. These were big international conferences where Soviet scientists and British and American and Canadian scientists and diplomats and politicians and academics would mix and mingle, sort of like the Bilderbergers type of event. And they would all get together for peace. And it was all about disarmament, but it was mainly about American disarmament, not so much Soviet disarmament. And after that, Leo Szilard got political. He set up the group Council for a Livable World. It was a political action committee. They got a little bit of money, and they started going into Senate races in small states. And there was a logic to this, because a U.S. senator is extremely powerful. They're the people who negotiate treaties. They deal with foreign relations with other nations, etc. And if you're in a small state like Rhode Island or New Hampshire or Vermont or South Dakota, small population-wise, you can elect a U.S. senator for comparatively little money, not like New York or Texas or California. You can get a lot of bang for your buck. So that's what Council for a Livable World did. They got money and they started going to small states and electing far left senators. And this is basically the deal. We will elect you. We will give you staff. We will help you with policy. We will help to re-elect you. We will fund you. We will get more money for you. All you have to do is vote to destroy the United States military. You have to negotiate treaties with the Soviet Union that are favorable to Moscow. You have to vote to cut weapons, U.S. weapon systems, to delay the deployment of superior armaments, to cut ship numbers, whatever it takes. Weaken the military, cut their budget, hamper them, hold them back, don't let them win wars. Put tough rules of engagement on them. Do anything you can to make their life tougher so they can't do their jobs. That's the job that you have, and we will keep electing you. This is the basically implicit deal that comes with getting supported by the Council for a Livable World. And one of their first successes was, of course, Joe Biden. Joe Biden was very one of their great successes. He became a very prominent U.S. senator. And we got to understand, he was a left winger. He was right on the left. The New York Times told us he was a moderate. He was a moderate on some social issues because he was in a Republican state. And people paid attention to the social issues. But on foreign policy, he was always with the hard left. When Reagan was trying to stop communism in Latin America, he had three major opponents in the U.S. Senate. John Kerry, of course. Ted Kennedy, of course, who actually went to Moscow to collude with them against Reagan's foreign policy. And Joe Biden. Joe Biden went to the Soviet Union in the late 1970s, and he made a couple of statements about the Soviets' poor human rights record. But when he got to the Soviet Union, he privately told the Soviet leaders, please don't be offended by that. This is something I say for American consumption. I don't care what you do with your dissidents. I'm only saying this to please my constituents back home. And we know this because Vladimir Bukovsky, who was a famous Soviet dissident who died a year or two ago, after the fall of the Soviet Union, the fake collapse of the Soviet Union, went to Moscow, was allowed into the archives, and photocopied and photographed thousands of pages of Soviet records, including a report from a top Soviet official about their meeting with Joe Biden. So it was revealed, even worse, it was revealed in 1994 that Leo Szilard was a fully recruited Soviet agent. The man who set up Council for a Livable World was a Soviet agent. And we know this because Pavel Sudoplatov wrote a book detailing his involvement with several Manhattan Project scientists. Pavel Sudoplatov was a top leader of the Soviet intelligence services under Stalin and Beria in the 1950s onwards. And he openly stated that Leo Szilard and at least three other top scientists were fully recruited Soviet agents, including Oppenheimer, who was recently posthumously pardoned because his security clearance was pulled. And this was an injustice, even though he was a Communist Party member and a Soviet agent. So Pavel Sudoplatov said, this is what happened. After the war, Leo Szilard was told to stop spying. The FBI was getting on their case, and it was far better to use his prestige, his scientific prestige, in the political realm rather than spying. Rather than acting as a spy for Moscow, act as an agent of influence. Work, use your gravitas as a nuclear scientist to push for US nuclear disarmament. That's why he got involved in the Pugwash conventions. That's why he set up Council for a Livable World. So he set this organization up, and it's so far it's recruited roughly 250 US senators, including over 40 of the current crop. That's 80% of the current Democratic senators owe their positions to some degree to the Council for a Livable World. They got behind Obama, behind Clinton, behind Dianne Feinstein. Most of the US senators on the Democratic side for the last 50 years have had backing of the Council for a Livable World, which is why our military is in the state it is, why our country is in the state that it is. Now, Joe Biden, the Council for a Livable World boasts on their website about all the weapon systems that they have got cut. Bunker busters and MX missile systems and chemical warfare treaties. They boast openly about all the damage they have done to the US military through their influence. They helped Obama and Biden negotiate the START treaty with Russia a few years ago, which was so advantageous to Putin and so disastrous to the United States that President Trump had to unilaterally cancel it. So, this is the kind of thing he does. When Biden got into power, he put five members of the Council for a Livable World into the State Department, the Department of Defense, the National Security Council, and other agencies, all to do with disarmament. He wants to cut our nuke numbers. He wants to reduce Navy ship numbers. This is what Biden says when Russia and China are both getting ready for World War III against the United States. Biden wants to cut the number of nukes that America has and the number of ships. America's Navy is half of what it was under Reagan. Reagan built it up to 600 ships. Now it's just over 300. America has not built a new nuclear weapon since 1992. Not one, not a single one. And their shelf life is 25 years. Do the math on that one. Do we actually have a nuclear deterrent any longer? We don't even know if many of the nukes will still work. There was a while back, there was a joke running amongst the American military that there was one spanner that fit some of the nuclear weapons around the country. They had to be maintained and checked out. And one spanner, they only had one, and they used to have to FedEx it around the country to work on the different military bases. So much for the wasteful military-industrial complex. I thank God every day for the U.S. military-industrial complex. We are only free and only alive today because of it. We should be grateful. Not saying there isn't some waste. I'm not saying there isn't some corruption. There isn't every enterprise. But I'll tell you what, we should be just so grateful that America has had a military industrial complex in the past that could do great things. Still has to a degree, but not as much as it had. And we should be grateful that it has kept us safe and secure for a long time. If not, the Soviets would have taken over the world a long time ago. They planned in 1983 to invade Europe, start World War III, and they called it off just at the last moment. And what we're seeing in Ukraine now is the first step in World War III, first kinetic step. That's why I'm so passionate, so strong about ending it there, not allowing it to spread. So Biden basically was also heavily involved with the Iranians in the 1970s. He was involved in leaking information about, that was given to him about Iran, which really damaged one of our programs at the time. He's been involved with China for several years. I saw a BBC article the other day from 2001, and it was all about Joe Biden offers to help China get into the World Trade Organization. Joe Biden offers to help China. Do you think there might have been a quid pro quo there? Do you think Joe Biden might have wanted a little bit of a reward for his help? So why is Joe Biden offering to help our, one of our number one enemies rather than help his constituents or his country? Joe Biden's treachery goes back to the 70s. He has worked with Iran and China and Moscow the whole time. And we hear a lot about his deals with the Ukraine, but we've got to understand there, most of that was done when the pro-Russian factions in the Ukraine. The Ukraine, up until 2014, was controlled by pro-Russian guys. They were in with Putin. And the Maidan revolution that threw the Russians out was sparked when the head of that time, Petroshenko, said, we're not going to deal with the West. Vladimir Putin doesn't like that. We're going to deal exclusively with the East, with Russia. That sparked a revolution that threw the Russians out of power. And a lot of the people that the Bidens were working with were part of that faction. It's very wrong to blame Ukraine today for what happened under the pro-Russian factions of a few years ago. The Ukrainians successfully threw the Russians out of their country, not completely, but to a very large degree. So we need to understand that perspective. So Joe Biden made this massive mistake in Afghanistan, right? Remember a few months ago, a year ago, he just pulled all the troops out of Afghanistan just overnight. Just chaos. We saw the heart-rending scenes of people trying to get onto planes, desperate American citizens trapped in Afghanistan, maybe still there today. We just don't know. All sorts of things. Private people had to go and pull these people out. Thousands of people who'd worked with the American forces were abandoned to the Taliban. And we also, you know, billions of dollars of U.S. U.S. military technology was abandoned. Some of that is now turning up in Russian hands in Ukraine, right? Unbelievable. And the Taliban even got hold of, I am told, the technology for printing U.S. military identifications, U.S. military IDs. Don't you think the ability to make genuine U.S. military IDs that would pass any inspection would be very useful in a future terrorist attack on this country? But Joe Biden gave that all to the Taliban. But who did he really give it to? He gave it to the Pakistanis and the Chinese. He gave Afghanistan to China. Anybody who believes that was stupidity is, you know, I got a bridge in Brooklyn, I could sell you, if you believe that was stupidity. That was designed to do several things. It was designed to fortify China. It was designed to fortify the Taliban. It was designed to terrify India. It was designed to basically help to change the world balance of power. You know, China has ambitions on the Pacific. China has ambitions on America. But if China attacks into the Pacific, it had a big problem. A big U.S.-controlled country on their western flank. Between them and India, buffering any attacks they might make on India, and could serve as a launching pad for U.S. bombers against China if China decide to attack this country or allies in the Pacific. Now China doesn't have to worry about that anymore. China effectively controls Afghanistan on all the rare earth minerals and all of the technology, all given to China. No, Biden gave Afghanistan to China. I don't believe for one second it was a mistake. You know, if this was just stupidity, wouldn't they make a mistake in our favor once in a while? Seriously? So Biden gave this country to China. The weaponry is now turning up in the hands of Russians fighting our friends in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. And we lost all that money and all that national security and all that leverage. Now, India, which was very friendly with Trump, is now terrified of China and is trying to make its peace with Russia, not quite understanding that Russia is an ally of China. So it's a mess, a complete mess. You look at the world since Biden became president. We had 4 years under Trump, and what happened? Wars were winding down. Wars weren't amping up. Iran was in its box. You know, the president had Soleimani killed, the IRG terrorist leader. He put the Iranians in their box. He gave lots of help to Ukraine, which helped keep Putin in his box. We got to understand, President Trump was a big ally of Ukraine, not of Russia, of Ukraine. He was a big supporter. If you don't believe me, look it up. He gave them lots of support. And Biden and Trump was also very, very close to India and Japan, Australia. And he was working with those countries to basically freeze out the Communist Party of China. So China was in its box. Russia was in its box. Iran was in its box. The border was relatively secure. Things were looking good. Well, how's it turned out now, nearly 2 years into the Biden farce presidency? The world is going up in flames. We've got the war in Ukraine, major threats in the Middle East, major threats in the Far East. China's threatening to invade Taiwan, but it's going to be much more than Taiwan. North Korea's basically rattling its saber that wants to invade South Korea. So all of that's happened because a whole bunch of Americans couldn't be bothered going to the polls. And absolutely there was vote fraud, no question at all. But there were still millions of Americans, particularly millions of American Christians, who didn't bother to vote. Didn't bother. Just didn't bother to vote. So this is what happens. When good people don't vote, we get bad people in power and the world turns to custard. The world turns to just disaster area after disaster area. And we're going to be very, very, it's going to take a lot of providence to get us through the next period, a lot of providence, a lot of hard work, and a lot of people facing up to reality to even get us to 2024, even to have the chance of changing the regime in Washington, D.C. So the background to Biden and to Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, and to Mrs. Nice Amy Klobuchar, the Senator from Minnesota, and Bernie Sanders, and Tulsi Gabbard, very dangerous person, is all in my book, White House Reds. If you really want to know Biden's communist background, get White House Reds from trevorlouden.com. You really want to know the skinny on Tulsi Gabbard, who is very dangerous and is possibly being angled to be Trump's in 2024, we've got to stop that happening. Absolutely stop that happening. That would be a disaster beyond measure. If you want to know the real backgrounds of these people, get the book Security Risks. Get the book White House Reds from trevorlouden.com. So I hope that's given you a little bit of food for thought. We are very deeply penetrated. The country is being run by Xi Jinping and Barack Obama and Susan Rice and Valerie Jarrett and puppet Joe Biden. But it's still worth knowing the communist background of Biden. He was sold to us as a moderate. That was a lie, a complete lie. Complete lie. This is, you don't ever believe the New York Times. So hope you found it interesting. We'll see you again next week. Or hope you all have a good weekend. Come back refreshed and recharged for the battle. So God bless you all, and please have a God bless you all, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you.